Easy Natural English with Liam, an English listening podcast. Hello everyone and welcome back. I hope that you're all doing well. Today I'll be picking up another topic to talk to you about that hopefully you will find interesting. And being as all of you listening to this podcast are learning English, I assume that you are all interested in languages. So today's topic is going to be about a particular language and also about the people that speak that language. And this is a very interesting group of people, or in this case, a tribe. A tribe is a word that we use for a very small group of people that live together. Compared to, for example, a country where you have the citizens, a tribe is usually a very small collection of one type of people. In this case, today we are talking about a tribe that lives in the Amazon rainforest. And the reason I would like to talk about this tribe and their interesting language is because they are quite well known for apparently not having a system for counting, not having words for numbers, and not really engaging with the concept of counting and numbers. You might have heard of this group before. They are called Piraha. I'm not sure if that's exactly the correct pronunciation, but that's how it seems to be pronounced when people are talking about it in documentaries and things like that. But this tribe, or these people called Piraha, they are very well known for having an unusual language, at least unusual when looking at it from the perspective of, for example, someone like me who speaks English, seems to be very different. So a few things that make it different from the languages that I'm used to, and probably the languages that you are used to as well, is apparently it doesn't have exactly a present, future, past tense system. Apparently, they tend to speak in only present tense. And a lot of things today, when I talk about this tribe, I will say apparently. And, you know, we use this word apparently when we mean that somebody said this, but we don't know if it is 100% true or not. So if your friend tells you about something and you're not sure if that's exactly true, then you might start by saying apparently, blah, blah, blah. And the reason I'm using this word apparently a lot today is because a lot of what we know about the Piraha language comes from one man. His name is Dan Everett, or Daniel Everett. And the reason it comes from him is because this tribe, there are only 700 members of this tribe, and they live deep in the Amazon rainforest, so they don't have that much connection with the rest of society. And this Dan Everett is one of the very few people who have tried to make a connection with this tribe and has spent the time to learn their language. There are a few people that speak a bit of their language, but he is the most fluent. So a lot of what we know about their language comes from this one person. And because many claims of their language seem quite surprising to linguists and to the rest of us, compared to what we know about existing, or compared to what we know about other languages, his claims are quite surprising. And because he's the only one that can say these things, that can clarify these things, there are a lot of linguists who say, I'm not sure if that's true, that's interesting, but we don't know if that's exactly true or not, because we need to put a lot of trust in this man. It seems like, from some of the other people that speak this language, that what he says might be true, but we don't know 100%, so I will be using the word apparently a lot today. So as I was talking about just a moment ago, one of the things that is interesting is the way that people in this tribe talk about tense or talk about time. And one of the famous things, which I also mentioned right at the beginning, is that they don't have a system for numbers. And that is one of the main things that I want to talk about today. So let's get into today's episode. Until about 30 years ago, most linguists agreed that all languages have numbers, that numbers and counting were a universal thing. And this makes sense, I think, if you, like me, and I'm sure all of you are like me, in that you come from a culture and a language that uses numbers and counts things. And counting and numbers and maths are such an everyday thing for us that we can't really imagine our lives without. So I think without researching too much, a lot of people would just assume, would just guess that every language and every culture uses numbers. However, in the early 2000s, Dan Everett, the man that I mentioned earlier, the linguist who had connection with this tribe, through interaction with them, he started to learn their language. Of course, it had to be through just interaction, because unlike a language, for example, like French, he could not just go to a bookstore and buy a book called Beginner's French, because nobody outside of this tribe had tried to learn this language or document this language. So, of course, like a lot of people that have this kind of occupation where they try to document new languages, the only approach they can take is to spend time with these people and try to understand their language. And as he learned more, he started to realize that they didn't use numbers. So he did some kind of experiments or some kind of observations with these people, and he would lay out a few items. So I saw a video, for example, where he had fish hooks, and he put down one fish hook, and he asked one of the tribe members, how many is this? And the tribe, the man from the tribe, he used a word which is something, it's H-O-I, and so I think it's pronounced something like hoi. And apparently this word, according to Dan Everett, doesn't exactly mean one, it just means a few or not many. So he asked the man in the tribe, and he's done this with other members. This is just one video that I was watching, but he's done this kind of experiment with many members of the tribe. He asks, how many is this? And the man just answers, not many. And then he puts one more, and the man might say, yeah, that's not many. And then when he puts a few more, the man will change the word, and he'll say, oh, it's a lot. Or like, it's a collection. So they don't exactly specify 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They speak more in terms of not many or many. So then, after Everett realized this, a question he asked himself, and a question that you might be asking yourself now, is, can the Pirahã people actually comprehend numbers? Although they don't have the words for numbers, are they able to count? So a way that he checked this is he laid down a few items similar to what I was explaining before. So for example, like fish hooks, he would put down two fish hooks and then ask the person opposite, one of the members of this tribe, to do the same. And he said if it was one or two fish hooks, they would usually copy. So if he put down one hook and he said, please do the same, they would put down one hook. If he put down two hooks and he said, please put down the same as me, they would put down two hooks. But he said once it got over two, once it started to be 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, he said the larger the number, the more likely they were to make mistakes. And they didn't exactly match the amount of hooks or batteries or whatever he was using at the time. They didn't match exactly the number that he did. And it was for any number over three, they started to make mistakes. So it wasn't some big number like 48 or something that would be hard to look at quickly and copy. It was just a number, for example, like 7, 8, 9, that would start to be difficult for the people, which would suggest that they didn't quite use the concept of numbers in the same way that we are used to. And this was what Everett referred to as an analog estimation strategy. And estimation means like a guess, means, for example, if I threw a handful of coins on the floor and I asked you, how many coins is this? If you went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and counted, that is not estimating. But again, if I threw the handful of coins on the ground and you said, it's about 17, you know, you just look and quickly guess, that is estimating. So that is what he thought that people in this tribe were doing, because they didn't have this system in their mind of counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They would just make a kind of estimation. So perhaps the next question you're asking yourself is, why don't they use numbers? Don't they need them? But as I mentioned earlier, they are a very small tribe. It's thought that there are about 700 people in this tribe these days. And their way of life is what we, in the kind of life that we live, we might consider it to be a simple lifestyle. Apparently, they don't store food for very long. Apparently, they tend to collect food and eat food pretty much on a kind of instant basis. They said that if they make some flour from some of the local plants, they will usually use the flour within 2 or 3 days. So a lot of what they're doing doesn't require large numbers or doesn't require counting. You know, their day-to-day life is, when it comes to food, would just be as simple as seeing something that you want to eat, collecting it, harvest, you know, collecting it, preparing it, and then eating it. So that's a very different style of living than what we're used to, where I'm sure most of you listening go to the supermarket, and in the supermarket they need to keep track of how many, for example, how many packs of eggs they are selling every week. They need to make sure that they have enough eggs stocked for the amount of customers that they have. They don't want to have too few, they don't want to have too many, and they need to keep track of this kind of things with numbers. And now you might have made the connection with what I talked about earlier as well, when I said that according to Everett and other people that have studied this language, these Piraha people don't use the concept of future tense and past tense. They tend to live very much in the moment, in the present. So they're not really planning ahead for the future. They're not really thinking about these kind of things that might require numbers like we do in our society. And speaking about these people living in the present, I actually heard a funny story before about Everett and his interactions with this tribe. So Everett was, or is, a Christian, and he worked as a missionary. I'm not sure if he still does or not, but a missionary is a Christian that goes to another country and tries to make other people into Christians. So he tried to talk to this tribe about Jesus, and somebody asked, have you met him? Have you met Jesus? And when Everett said no, apparently the tribe all laughed very hard and very long, and they thought it was hilarious that he believed in something that he hadn't seen before. And that is just an example of how these people are living very much in the present day, believing only in things that they see before them. And yeah, to talk about some kind of God that no one has seen before, they thought that that was a very funny story. And after Everett's work in early 2000, and after other linguists started getting interested, some researchers wanted to check if this tribe could learn the concept of numbers at all. So some people have, I think including Everett, some linguists have taught some of the members of the tribe Portuguese numbers, as if you remember, they are in the Amazon rainforest, so in Brazil. So they've taught them Portuguese numbers, and they've tried to teach them to count. And according to Everett's accounts, a lot of them are just not interested. Apparently, some of the children are interested and they learn it quite well, but a lot of the adults are not really interested, so they might learn a little bit, but they tend to not be so successful. And apparently, this comes from these people being actually rather content, rather happy with their own way of life, and not really having much interest in the outside world. So you have these linguists coming into the forest and saying to these people, come on, you need numbers, you need to learn these will be useful for you. And these people, they respond in a way that seems to be like they think, we don't need these, we're quite happy, thank you very much, and they don't really show much interest in that. And in fact, the Piraha have a word that they use to talk about languages from outside their tribe, and they call these languages crooked head. And crooked means kind of bent. So from what I understand, they mean that these languages are kind of strange. So crooked head would be something a bit like, you know, these people are strange or something. And the people that have documented this, they say that it really is meant as a pejorative term. So it's meant as a kind of insulting term. So they do think of other cultures as kind of strange. And I think this is a very good point to finish on. A lot of times when we look at other people's cultures, we tend to think, that's strange, that's unusual. You know, I'm normal, they are strange, they are weird. And it's always, of course, a matter of perspective. You know, when you grow up in a country, in an environment, whatever you do will seem normal to you, and what others do might seem unusual. So for us who have grown up counting and using numbers, the idea of not using numbers seems very, very strange. But now here we are in modern society, we are tracking everything, you know, even, you know, I'm quite interested in fitness. I often wear a fitness watch. I'm tracking my heart rate all the time, worrying about my health. Every year I have to do my taxes, you know, almost every day I'm checking bills, checking my bank account, constantly being chased around by numbers. I'm sure if you think about it for a moment, you will realize that a lot of stress in our lives comes from numbers, you know, comes from money, comes from just time, comes from dates. Like I said earlier, even for tracking our health, there are a lot of numbers in our life, and a lot of them are a cause for stress and worry and anxiety. And meanwhile, these people in the Amazon rainforest, the Piraha people, who we might think of as kind of unusual or strange, they're probably a lot less stressed in that sense. I'm not sure what their day-to-day life is like. Perhaps it's a little worrying and anxious, needing to look for food every day. But at least when it comes to data and numbers, I'm sure they're having a much easier time than we are by only speaking about many or not many. That sounds like quite a nice way to live, actually. So thank you all very much for listening today. If you would like to do some shadowing with me, then please check out the link for my app in the description of the podcast. If you'd like to join my Patreon page, where you can read transcripts, listen to bonus episodes, and get some other content as well, then please also check out the link in the description of the podcast. Thank you all very much. See you back here next time.